Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be with you this morning and have the opportunity to share with you this morning. And I want you to know, I was getting ready for this morning. It was kind of like, it reminded me of when Janine and I were younger and the boys were little. A lot of you will remember or know, you're doing this right now. Remember when you load up to go on a trip when you have young kids, how much stuff it takes to go? Right. Well, I have a demonstration this morning. And I just kept gathering things. And I thought, maybe I shouldn't have done this. But it's all here. It's all together. So I have a couple of things I want to share with you this morning. And we'll get into that. We're going to be in John chapter 4 if you want to follow along in just a minute. John chapter 4 beginning in verse 7. The title of our lesson this morning is Seeing Beyond the Giant. And I started to put a bunch of pictures up here and decided maybe that's not the best thing to do. But I started thinking back through the years, the things that we have seen in our lifetimes, the things that we are seeing now. In the last week, you know, we've seen civil unrest. We've seen terrorist attack where many people were killed. It's not new for us, actually, is it? We look back to the Murray building, or like the time that I spent at Ground Zero in New York, and all the things that occur. And then if you've ever worked as a law enforcement officer, and we have a couple that are in our services with us, members here this morning, that understand what it's like to pull up on a scene and you know immediately that it's not going to be good. I also know what it's like to go to homes over and over again and walk in the door and tell someone that their sister or their father has lost their life in an accident. And that's not easy. And life throws all these things at us and it can get really heavy sometimes. We look at our own health or health of loved ones and the things that are going on around us. And when I was young, of all things, you know, it used to be a big deal if a kid was sick two or three times, they're ready to take your tonsils out, right? And they took my tonsils out when I was 19, and as you get older, that's actually a much more major surgery. And I've talked a little bit about this before in the past, but not in this manner. And I remember lying in that bed, and they couldn't get my throat to stop bleeding, and I was in and out of surgery over and over again, and I'm about 6'2", and there was a point where I entered back into the hospital and the nurse said, "Coming back, I didn't know you were gone." They took me into surgery several times, and I weighed 136 pounds. And I remember having my eyes closed and my throat hurt so bad that I couldn't really talk. I could whisper a little, but I couldn't really talk. And I remember the doctor coming in and sitting down and taking my mother's hands and saying, "Mrs. Thompson, you need to prepare yourself in case we can't save him." And for a minute, that kind of rushed over me. And I know it rushed over my mom, right? And she just looked at him and tears welled up in her eyes. And I remember laying there with my eyes thought and said, "Nah, he's crazy." But whether you're dealing with a health problem or dealing with the things that the world seems to be throwing at us, why people make uneducated, ignorant decisions. Now understand, there's a difference between being stupid and ignorant, right? Ignorant means that you just don't know. You don't have the facts. You don't have the knowledge. Stupid is you have the knowledge and you make the dumb decisions anyway. And we see some of both in the world, don't we? And all these things come at us, and I want to remind us of a few things this morning. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you know the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "You have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Would you pray with me? God and Father, as we examine a few scriptures this morning, open our hearts and minds. And Father, help us, the people who want to be clean of the world that is around us. Father, help us to be a people who rise above and stand tall over a world who is lost and living in darkness. Father, we long to be more. Help us to find the knowledge and the wisdom in your word to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've seen this movie, or if you have kids, you've probably seen this, right? The BFG, Big Friendly Giant. And Sophie here is a little girl who lives in an orphanage, and she's an insomniac, and she's up all night, and she's talking about, I shouldn't be up at 3 a.m., but I am, and I think that's when bad things happen, right? And so she sees the giant outside the window, and the giant comes towards her because he doesn't want anybody to know that he exists, right? And then you see this hand reaching in, and I love this about children, right? If I cover up my head, it's not real. If I cover up my head, it's not real. But my question is, do we do the same thing as adults sometimes? If we just ignore it, maybe it's not real. And they wind up becoming friends. And it's a good story. I won't give you any more spoilers. I already gave you a spoiler, didn't I? But seeing beyond the size of something or the way something looks when it comes at you, it's difficult, isn't it? I could have laid in that bed and said, "All right, the doctor says that I'm close to death and I'm going to give up and quit." I remember what it was like to also go down on a motorcycle and thinking, "Is this it? Are these my last breaths?" And my concern was, Janine's following me in a car. What do I do? And you've heard me tell that story before, and her first thought was, "That big dummy, he told me he'd never leave me, and there he is going home right now." Right? That was her thought. It was hard for us to see past the obstacle that was right in front of us. I want to talk to you about Jeremiah for a second. We've been doing an overview of the Old Testament in the auditorium here on Sunday morning. Jeremiah was a prophet who lived in Jerusalem in the southern kingdom of Judea, or Judah. And he preached to the people for years, "There is doom coming. Bad things are going to happen because you won't turn to the Lord, because you don't look to Him, because you don't give to Him, you don't live your lives for Him." And God, through Jeremiah, sends this message to them. And it reminds me of John chapter 4, right? Jeremiah chapter 2, 12 and 13. "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And hewed out cisterns," like pits, a cistern or a cistern jar you might think of. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Jeremiah 3:19, I said, how I would set you among my sons and give you a pleasant land, a heritage most beautiful of all nations. And I thought, little words that mean so, so much. I thought you would call me Father and would not turn from following me. All right. When we begin to fill ourselves up and build everything alone, it's like a broken cistern that leaks. Preston, would you come help me, please? Would you set all this carefully on this desk? One time, one at a time. Let's take him out. One at a time. See, I didn't practice with him, so he doesn't know what he's doing. This is a surprise for him, too, this morning. The teenagers have seen this visual before. Matt and I, youth minister, used to be in Henrietta, worked this up together a few years ago for them. But I want us to have a visual of life and what happens to us, right? So, all right, fill the glasses, fill this one to the top so that nothing else can get in it, okay? Your brother said he'd clean up any messes you made, okay? You see, he's like, what, Dad? No. All right, you can just sit right there for a minute. He looks good anyway, doesn't he? I'm partial. Life brings things to us, though. When this looks good, right? It's good water. It really is good water. It's clean, it's refreshing. When Jesus fills us up, others look at us and they want what we have. If you'd been mowing the lawn all day long, you'd want that glass of water, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. But now you don't know exactly what this is. I mean, you have an idea, right? It may or may not be what's on the outside of the bottle. But life comes along and it adds things to us, right? It adds kids for a lot of us, jobs, and that's not so bad, right? Sometimes we can still handle that. That's pretty good, actually. Then comes the stress of jobs and the stress of children, the stress of income, the awning on the house that needs to be repaired. The air conditioner is getting old. The guy who repaired the heater said it's time to replace it. Now, I'm not sure I want to take a drink of that any longer. That's pretty strong. That's probably enough flavor in there for about 5 glasses of water. Then comes bills. And as you get older, then you got kids in college, and it just, life gets stronger, doesn't it? And it's hard to stay clear and focused, to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. And then Satan takes a look at the stress that's in your life, and along he comes. And with the kids, he gives us anger. And with bosses, frustration. And with health, struggles. and we make the mistakes of not looking to Him to answer for answers and strength. That does not smell good anymore. No, I'm not going to taste it. I heard that. Taste it. No, 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 no. You don't know what's in this bottle. And Satan pours the darkness in until he fills us up and there's no room for Jesus. And life gets dark and unsavory and downright just bad. And we wonder, how do we get away from the darkness that the world has around us? Because we haven't seen the last of terrorist attacks in America. Are you not young enough to remember the school shooting at Fort Gibson down the road? Our kids live in a different time than you lived in when you went to school. And it's easy to get lost and unfocused, and it's easy to let life just suck us right in and bring so much darkness that all we do is sit around and complain and argue and gripe and we get upset. And even at the darkest moments of life, when there seems to be no answer, God is saying, just like to His people in Israel, let me be the cistern. Call me Father and don't turn from me. Let me fill your life. Take this and hold it over that ice chest. And we forget that if we spend time and we get back into the Word, that it begins to change who we are again. And I have a towel, okay?
All right.
Hold it down a little lower, okay? You got a good back. You can kind of squat. And we pour Jesus in, and things begin to change. Hold it up just a little bit. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden or heavy burdened, depending on your version, and you will find rest for your soul. Whoops. I made a mess now. Janitors, I'm sorry. Hold it lower. Verse 2, be not conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can be filled with the freshness of life, the joy of life, the purity of life that comes from knowing God. So that those who surround you, when they look into your life, can want to take a drink of it again. That's pretty good. But only God can transform us like that. Amen. Only God can make that kind of difference in our lives. Thank you, son. You can sit down. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and this is more important, and I see verse 11 all the time, and I don't see 12. I don't hear people talk about it. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, not as the televangelist, not as your neighbor down the street, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Brethren, in a world where everything is changing, where we don't know what tomorrow holds, we can't live in fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity. That's not who we're supposed to be. You know, last year, the Department of Defense released a bulletin to law enforcement. Law enforcement officers get those. When I was an officer, I used to be privy to those, you know, read them. But there was one release that they said, a single terrorist in America will be looking for the opportunity to march into church buildings they believe in the future. This week, there was a purpose, something about that week. I went to some of the men and the officers that we had at the time, one officer, and I said, we need to be prepared in case one in a billion that somebody in Sand Springs, America, but we need to be prepared. Not fearfully, just prepared. Because if we let fear overcome us, it's like clouding the water all over again. It keeps us from being who we're supposed to be. The living water that is flowing from within us that can change the world around us. Ronald, do you mind coming up here for a second, please? Yeah, Ron, do you mind? This is my brother. And he doesn't care what my skin color is.
No.
What he cares about is how dark my soul is.
Yes.
Isn't that right, brother?
Yes, sir. God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Because that's who we are.
Amen.
That's who we have to be. For the world who doesn't know what is going on, they don't always see the darkness that is in their vessel, in their cistern, that God wants to get rid of, that He wants to take from you, to carry for you. And I want you to understand, what is the worst thing that can happen to me in my life? And the answer is not death. For me, the best thing that can happen is death. The worst thing that can happen is I'm laying up in a hospital and Janine's trying to figure out what kind of bills she's going to pay first. Or about a relative of ours that we love who's chosen the life of a homosexual and alcohol. But it doesn't matter how dark your soul gets, that Jesus can make it clean and whole again. If you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give to you living water. One last thing, and the lesson is yours. If you have a smartphone, pull it out and hold it up. If you have a smartphone, I want to see it. Just hold it up for a minute. I want the congregation to see how many's there. Smartphones. That's quite a few, isn't it? All right, you can put it down. Here's my question. My statement. Tool of darkness or tool of light and living water? That's our choice. On the 3 weeks from today, on the 10th, right? Do I have the date right, Elliot? The 10th? On the 10th of next month, we're going to have a Friends Day. I typed out a message that I intend to send to a few people this week and next week. 48 characters. 48 characters on a smartphone can bring the possibility of living water to the life of someone who's living in darkness. The question is, do we have the courage to start pouring out the living water that's within us? What can we do to change the darkness to light, the filth to purity? Because in this church, it doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from, what's inside of you is more important than anything else. Where your heart and your mind lies inside. If we can help you set your life right this morning, to put on Christ in baptism, to be raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, to be united with Him in the likeness of that death, burial, and resurrection, to be raised to walk a life that is pure and whole. When Jesus went to John the Baptist and John the Baptist said, I don't need to be baptized by you. You need to baptize me. What's going on here? And Jesus' answer to him was, permit it to be so at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. That's where I begin. That's one of the things I start with that in my Bible studies and I circle back to it. Because Jesus at the beginning, at the very beginning of His ministry, the first step that He took was to set for us an example of baptism. This John is how I continue to live as the Savior. Do you want that in your life? I hope so. If you have that in your life and you've let your life turn dark, it's time to let Jesus fill you up again. Let us pray with you. Why don't you come as we stand and sing together?
Hallelujah.